How's your fantasy team doing? You struggling? Oren, how's your fantasy team doing?
I'm in a PPR league, sir, and my team at the moment has not broken 100 points.
Oh, my goodness.
Any game this season. My first four picks, I kid you not, I had number one pick in the draft. I went Ja'Marr Chase, then A.J. Brown, then Kyren Williams, then Travion Henderson, and Joe Burrow. My first four picks.
Oh, no.
My first four picks that I thought would be in the top 20 of each position are outside of the top 20 at each position, and Joe Burrow as my starter. I don't have the Ja'Marr Burrow stack at all right now. So it's having to depend on now Sam Darnold and and Jackson Dart to kind of carry me through, which they're not doing,
no,
as you can see.
Well, no. But maybe Sam Darnold has some hope. We're talking a little football tonight.
The most consistent player on my team this year has been Tucker Kraft.
Wow.
My tight end.
And the Packers scored 10 points a couple of weeks ago.
Did not do well, no.
Not exactly what you're looking for. But if you're struggling like Oren is, I'm not. I'm 3-1 in my league, although I did take my first L this week with the Falcons on a bye on Chris Thomas tonight. We figured let's talk a little fantasy. Under the Helmet Dynasty founder Chad Parsons joins me now on the WadeFord.com hotline. Chad, let's start here. Who are a couple of players that have either surprised you in a good way, meaning they've outperformed your expectations early, or in a bad way, meaning you thought these guys were going to be studs and they just haven't lived up to it going into week five?
Yeah, I think one for everybody is Ashton Jeanty. You know, going in the first round, the first 3 weeks, he was super disappointing. And when people start to think about benching someone like that, that's the week they go off. And it's amazing. He got a couple blocks and all of a sudden he has a house call. He's breaking tackles. I think he set a record for 11 forced missed tackles in week four. And that's all it takes. He has a 30-plus point game in most of the scoring systems. And now it's like maybe you benched him in week three, benched him in week four, you missed out on that big game. So he's a huge disappointment when you look at that. O'Marrion Hampton had a couple down games. A lot of times these rookies take some time, and by midseason, they're really helping you.
When it comes to the quarterback market, like my producer Oren was just saying, he unfortunately took Joe Burrow thinking he'd have another MVP-like performance. Who are some quarterbacks that are maybe lower on the totem pole that you could take a look at as a backup option?
Yeah, I think Jackson Dart with his first start, you have to feel optimistic. They got the win. Hopefully he doesn't get injured. He's running around lowering his shoulder into guys like his running back Cam Scadabo there. But the rushing in fantasy pays the bills, and he didn't have to do a whole lot passing-wise. So I think almost with his situation, losing Malik Nabers really stinks. But for a rushing quarterback that might be 30, 40, 50 yards a game, he's a threat in the red zone. You saw that in his debut. I don't know if losing his first wide receiver is going to be as big of a deal fantasy-wise as it might be to other quarterbacks.
What did you make of Patrick Mahomes going into the season, and how do you feel his numbers suggest the type of season he's going to have now?
Yeah, I mean, you saw everything come together. Before the season, I've always been Mahomes positive, and Mahomes is going to bounce back in any given moment, anytime you doubt him, fantasy-wise especially. You know, a couple years in a row, things don't look good, he's not running that much. First few weeks, he's running like he could maybe go for 900,000 yards. So the weapons are coming together. We just keep ticking down the clock for Rashee Rice coming back. And now you look at all these ancillary guys. I was skeptical that Xavier Worthy was going to come back and play as well as he did. So he's still a high injury risk, but he just needs to make it through a couple more games. And all of a sudden, guys like Tyquan Thornton, Juju Smith-Schuster, they're very ancillary options. With Rashee Rice, I think people forget how good he is and what's going to happen. He's almost their version of Puka Nacua in a poor man sort of way when he returns to that lineup after two more games.
What did you project Saquon Barkley to do after the historic season so far, and then what do you make of what he's done in this season?
The Eagles are perplexing. I mean, A.J. Brown has to be the biggest disappointment, but Saquon Barkley, considering the expectations, not hitting 20 points in a game, and yet you look up, they're 4-0. They've been very tight to the vest on how they're playing offense. And it really hasn't been he's avoiding the goal line. You know, I think one of the biggest things would be like, he keeps getting siphoned away with all those goal line opportunities. And that really hasn't been the case. So I think with Barkley, it really is the offense is so tight here. So they're 23rd in running back targets. They're middle of the road in goal line carries for the running back position. So I think for the goal line, you would take that. I think it's a few more targets here and there. And here's the thing. They're playing like the Chiefs were last year. Let's just get wins. Who cares? You know, they're not playing for fantasy. And I think that's very concerning overall when you look at the Eagles' offense. I'm pretty worried about the ceiling for anybody outside of Jalen Hurts on that offense.
You know, it's pretty funny. We watched on Monday Night Football just an awful game between the Jets and the Dolphins. But, Chad, I have Devon Achane on my team, and despite their lack of success, he's been phenomenal.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. And the great thing is about Achane and McCaffrey, guys like that, they can almost do nothing on the ground, and it's a bonus because number three in running back targets is the Miami Dolphins, and Tua is just not going to push the ball down the field. No Tyreek Hill. It's going to go towards Darren Waller. He's a great pickup this week if still out there. And Achane getting 4, 5, 6 targets a game is huge for that offense. Doesn't matter if they're winning, losing. He's very well insulated as long as he gets those targets.
Talking all things fantasy with our buddy Chad Parsons. Make sure you check out Under the Helmet is where you find all of his good work on fantasy football. You mentioned tight ends. Darren Waller had a resurgent game last night. I know he was not ranked very highly coming into the season, but here in Atlanta, Kyle Pitts looks like he's starting to come on a little bit. Is he worth taking a flyer on if he's still out there in your league?
Absolutely. Like, I was looking into the Falcons offense. Never know if you're going to throw in one of those questions for the hometown team there, but they really have the perfect thing going on. I call it a fantasy funnel, which is they have 2 to 3 guys, studs, with Drake London, Bijan Robinson, as well as Kyle Pitts, and the ball doesn't really go anywhere else. And that's great for fantasy. Think back to Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill a few years ago. Think back to A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, and Dallas Goedert. Like, there's many iterations of this, T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. So that's really good for fantasy. And the only thing you need in that equation is to have a good enough, doesn't have to be an elite quarterback, but a good enough quarterback to fuel. So the fact that Darnell Mooney hasn't been much of a factor, he was more last year. Raven McLeod, not much of a factor. You know, the true tight end, because Pitts is sort of a hybrid player, not much of a factor. So that bodes well. And I'll say this, if one of them happens to go down, even more upside. So all three are lineup viable right now, but just imagine, and they only have one touchdown each. So there's actually more upside in the passing game for any one of them if the other goes out.
Such a shame, this guy's injury-riddled career, but this year he looks healthy and he's back to being one of the best backs in the league. Did you foresee this start for Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah, I mean, he finished as running back one in fantasy. Now, it wasn't the greatest year for running back one overall a few years ago, but he's in his prime. 23 to 27 or 28 is the prime window for running back. And the biggest key is no Anthony Richardson, and the offense is actually playing well. So you have Jonathan Taylor on a full-functioning offense. That's one of the biggest keys. And the other part is they're not even really optimizing him. You know, they are getting plenty of goal line looks, but 26th in running back targets so far this season. So I would say wait till maybe we get some negative game scripts, some games where they trail, and Jonathan Taylor could be even bigger because, frankly, you get more points if they're trailing and you get more targets in the passing game than you do with getting 5 or 10 additional carries unless you find a touchdown or a long score. So, yeah, Jonathan Taylor was one of the biggest bounce-back candidates, and you see what he can do when healthy.
Pair of guys in Jacksonville vastly underperforming in Brian Thomas and the number three overall pick in the draft. We know, listen, we're only getting 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 defensive snaps a game, but that doesn't matter for Travis Hunter. He's still not putting up the results on offense. What do you make of the Jacksonville Jaguars struggles?
Yeah, I think if you're in a league and you're doing well right now, let's say you're 3-1, 4-0, I think you have the latitude to go after Brian Thomas. I think he's the biggest bounce-back candidate. He had an outstanding year last year. I will say my concern lies with the quarterback. I think Trevor Lawrence is really overcooked right now. He's having trouble. He's got so many turnover-worthy plays, and he's just not elevating the situation. I mean, I think there's a reason Mac Jones fueled more production out of this passing game last year than Trevor Lawrence is this year. So there's a lot of pressure on Trevor Lawrence. To be fair, he got the big contract, and I didn't think he really deserved it. And fantasy-wise, he's been a shoulder shrug guy his entire career. So Brian Thomas, he's working through a wrist injury. I think that's part of it. Part of it is just the chemistry, but the targets are still going to be there. The biggest thing with Travis Hunter, he's moonlighting at the position, and they basically said, Dyami Brown is out. Let's keep you at the wide receiver 3. Let's boost up Parker Washington. They have no faith in him being more than a slot guy, more than a tertiary option in that wide receiver core. And that's the biggest thing. He's just not seeing enough routes and deeper deeper targets is one of the main things as well.
Are you buying into Sam Darnold giving JSN enough love to make him a top, I don't know, 5-6 wide receiver?
Oh, yeah. I talked about the funnel in Atlanta. The funnel is even tighter. That hole is so small in Seattle right now because Cooper Kupp, he's fallen off a little bit. But Jackson Smith Njigba is doing elite things. You know, a lot of times you got to go beyond the box score of, you know, how many catches, what are they doing on a per route basis, some of these ancillary things to basically justify how well they're playing. And he's over 4 yards per route run. And I'll just say, like, Tyreek Hill in his best season was in his threes. Puka Nacua, you know, are guys in the 2.5, 3.0 range. And Jackson Smith Njigba is over 4.0. So this is absolutely justified. He's getting massive volume. And what I would say is he can still do a little better. So he can recede a little back in terms of efficiency, only running about 25 routes per game. So Seattle, if they open up their offense a little bit, normally you see a guy like that with 30, 35 routes per game. So he's got some latitude to even push beyond the 18 points per game. He could even be 20 or 21. If things turn his way with an extra touchdown or two, or just a few more routes.
Before I let you go, I took a chance on Justin Herbert as my QB1. I really thought that offense would find a way to explode for him this season, another year of McConkie, and you got the running game that's been retooled there. We know Harbaugh loves to run the ball to set up a deep shot, but Herbert's been okay. How do you project he and the Chargers offense going forward?
Yeah, I love it. The one drawback might be that their defense is too good, but let's worry about that another day. I will say Joe Alt, they're down another tackle. So they had one of their studs already out, and now Joe Alt this past week. That's the biggest concern. Is that going to lead to Herbert running for his life? But I think these weapons, they have loaded up in a hurry with Quentin Johnston taking a step up, bringing back Keenan Allen, adding Ladd McConkey's been the lost guy. He really hasn't produced all that much. Aronde Gadsden, he's a wild card at tight end as well. So they have so much depth at the position in terms of weapons that I think Herbert's going to have a tough time not producing. So the big concern in the next 2-3 weeks is going to be how long Joe Alt is back at tackle. But other than that, I think you see the fact that he's aggressive now running the ball, Herbert is, and the fact that the weapons, they could even stand to lose a guy and you're still plugging in someone like Trey Harris, a second round pick that they like, or Keandre Lambert-Smith, who was huge in the training camp and preseason process. So they go so deep, and I think Justin Herbert has a lot of ways to help you throughout the rest of the season.
Chad, great stuff. We'll be checking out Under the Helmet and the podcast, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Go Birds.
All right. That is, I don't know if you want to say that around these parts, but that is Chad Parsons. Make sure you check out Under the Helmet podcast. Sports Talk on the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Coming off that huge win on Sunday, Oren has 5 true and false Falcons questions for me. We'll do that next when we get back. 92.9 The Game.